and turn once again to the book of Philippians. We have been in Philippians for the last 3 weeks. And, you know, all God's word is good. And the Bible says very clearly that all of this Bible that we have, all of God's word, it says is divinely inspired. It's God-breathed. That even though this letter that we're reading, the letter to the Philippian church from Paul, even though Paul wrote it, it was inspired by God. It is God's message. And as Paul wrote it, he wrote it to the church in Philippi because he loved them. It was a church that he had started, that he had founded, and he wanted what's best for them. Do you think Paul would want what's best for us? Do you think God wants what's best for us? So the reality is, it doesn't matter that this was to the church in Philippi. This is also to you and I. It's truth for them, but it's truth for us too. And really, as we've looked in Philippians, there's an overarching message to the whole book. And if you really had to sum up what Philippians is all about, the main theme of it is that God is still working on us. Do we understand that? That we are a project that God has started. And it said in the verses that we read earlier that God is faithful. And He will complete the work that He has started in us. In other words, God is not going to give up on us. Is God working on you? Are you a project of God? Are you a masterpiece of God? Some of you weren't so sure. Here's the thing. We are a work of God, and sometimes we use different expressions. It can be taken in different ways. Sometimes we look at somebody, and you've ever heard the expression, well, they're a piece of work. Here's the thing. We are a piece of work, but it's God's work. And that makes us beautiful because God, the things that He creates, the things that He works at are beautiful. And we're all in different stages of God's work in us, aren't we? Aren't we? Sometimes we expect people around us to all be at the same level of completion in God's work that we are. That's not the way it works. We're all a different project. You know, when you see a house that's being built, can you tell if it's a house that's just been started or whether they've been working on that house for a month or two? Is there a difference? Yes. When you first start the house, do you put the roof on? You start shingling. That's the first thing you do when you build a house, right? No, you have to go through the steps. There's a process to it, and it doesn't happen overnight. You have to do the steps to get to where it's complete. All of us are at different steps in that process as we go through our lives. But none of us are complete yet. God is still working on us. And that's what Philippians is really talking about. And as we looked in chapter 1, it talked about God is faithful to complete the work in us. The second chapter challenged us to have the mind of Christ. That as believers, part of God's work in us is helping us to have the mind of Christ. That means to see the world the way that Jesus did. To think about others the way that Jesus did. How are you doing at that? Don't answer out loud, but just think. How are you doing at that? Do you look at other people and think of them as Jesus would have thought of them? If somebody would have cut off Jesus in traffic, what do you think He would have thought of them? Would He have thought, you moron, how dare you cut me off in traffic? Would Jesus have thought that? Do we think about the person at work that aggravates us? How would Jesus have thought about them? Would Jesus have had patience and understanding? Do we? The mind of Christ, it is a challenge to look at the world, to look at others the way that Jesus did. But that's what it talked about in chapter 2. And in chapter 3, we started to look at it last week, but we didn't get done. But it began to give us some warnings. It used that word beware. To beware. In verse 2 of chapter 3, beware. What does that word mean? Be aware. To be aware. To be looking for. That as believers, there's things in life that we have to be on our guard against. And the thing it talked about was having confidence or trust in ourselves. In the flesh, as the Bible talks about. Because the world encourages us to trust in ourselves, to trust in our own thinking, to trust in our own power, to trust in our own wealth. That's a danger. And God is saying, that's not what I want for you. Don't have trust in yourself, but have trust in me. And the verse we talked about, Paul said, what is gain for me is loss for Christ. Think about what that really means. What is gain for me? Whenever we have accomplishments that we take credit for, whenever God gives us things that we keep to ourselves, that's a loss for Christ. Because we've missed an opportunity to give glory to God. We've missed an opportunity to use what He's given us for others. When it's gain for us, it is loss for Christ. And that's kind of where we finished last week. And we're going to pick up in verse 9 of Philippians chapter 3. And I'm going to ask, if you have found that in your Bible, which I encourage you to follow along, I'm going to ask, if you're able, if you would stand as we read God's Word together this morning. Philippians chapter 3, beginning in verse 9. And this is what God's Word shares. And to be found in Him, speaking of Jesus, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable to His death, if by any means I might attain to the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which I am also apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to those things which are before, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if anything in you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as to have us for an example. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. For our conversation is in heaven, from where also we look for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like to His glorious body, according to the working whereby He is able even to subdue all things to Himself. Let's pray together. Lord God, once again, we just thank You for being in this place. Lord, we can look around and see faces of people sitting around us, but help us to know in our hearts that You are also here with us, that Your presence, that Your Spirit is here, that, Lord, as we read Your Word, that it is Your message for us, and You are always trying to speak to us. The question is, are we ready and willing to hear? And I pray, Lord, that this morning we are. And I know, Lord, as we come into Your house, we may be tired. We may be distracted. We may be thinking about things of yesterday or things about tomorrow. But Lord, I pray for the next few moments that You'd help us just to focus on You, upon what You have for us. And thank You again for Your presence here. And it's in the name of Jesus Christ we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. You can be seated this morning. So as we're continuing here in Philippians, again, this chapter is a warning. And that warning is not to trust in our own selves, not to trust in our own righteousness, in our own wisdom, in our own strength, in our own goodness. Because I know that there are many people in this world that think if they're good enough, they're going to make it to heaven. Is that true? Is that the way it works? If just the good that we do, if it outweighs the bad, then that's enough and we're going to make it to heaven. Is that the way it works? No, the Bible makes it very clear. It's not about our goodness. It's not about our righteousness. As a matter of fact, the Bible tells us what our righteousness of ourselves really is in God's eyes. It says our righteousness on our own is what before God? It's like filthy rags. You ever have any filthy rags? None of you do any cleaning? I know I'm always messing with something in the garage. Some things are a little cruddier, a little dirtier than other things. But I know, I think there have been a few times in the past, I have a lot of shop rags and towels and all kinds of things that I use. Once in a while, some of them I'll bring in the house and wash. But I know once in a while, my wife will look at me as I'm bringing something in and she'll say, "You're not washing that in the washing machine. That's going in the trash because it's filthy." Our own goodness, apart from Christ, that's what it is for God. Folks, it's not good enough. It is not good enough. We are only good enough through Jesus Christ. But the world will try to tell us that we just need to be good enough. But Paul talks, and he talks about, look in verse 9 again, to be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, because our own righteousness won't cut it. Not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. That is what God wants us to have. If we are a work of God and he is working on us, that's what he wants to see more and more of in us. To see Christ in us, not ourselves. That is what God wants to see, and that's what we need to work for. And as God is working on us, as God is changing us and shaping us into what he wants us to be, verse 10 goes on to describe some things that God wants to complete in you. We talked earlier about when you build a house, there's steps, there's things you want to accomplish. You got to get the foundation done. You got to get the frame, the structure up. There's steps to it. In verse 10, there are some things that as God works in our lives that need to happen. And we're going to go through some of these in verse 10, and I want you to think about your life, how it's going. In verse 10, the first thing that Paul says that God encourages him to write, it says, that I may know him. That is the first step. That is the key. That is, again, if you're thinking about the example of a house, what happens first? The foundation. If you don't have that foundation, at least in this area of the world, in this area of the country, if you don't have a good foundation, what happens to the structure? It falls down. It's not going to last, is it? You need to have that solid foundation underneath. It is necessary. It is the key to everything else. The first thing that Paul says, that I may know him. It's talking about knowing Jesus Christ, having a, here's the thing, here's the key, a personal relationship with Jesus. How many people in your life do you know? Think you could put a number on it?
No, not at all.
Be hard to do, wouldn't it?
Hundreds.
Hundreds. For me, I think of my life, my 50-some years that I've been alive, and I think of the places we've lived and the people I've come in contact with, the churches we've been at. And it would be in the thousands, people that I know. Is there a difference, too, between knowing somebody and having a personal relationship with somebody? Yeah, I know a lot of people. Personal relationship with people, that narrows it down quite a bit because that's different, isn't it? When it comes to Jesus Christ, when it says to know him, it's talking about a personal relationship. Not just knowing who he is, not just knowing that Christ was someone in history, that knowing that he was the Son of God, it takes more than that. The devil knows all that, doesn't he? He knows that Jesus is the Son of God, but does he have a personal relationship with him? Does he put his trust and faith in him? When it says knowing in verse 10, that I may know him, that's what it's talking about. And when we think of God still working on us, it means that relationship that we have with Christ, it needs to be changing. It needs to be growing the longer that we're a Christian. And for that to happen, for any relationship to grow, what do you have to do? Put time into it. To work at it. You know, if I'm sitting in my office and I'm counseling with a couple that's maybe having some struggles in their marriage, which happens. If I looked at them and said, do you want your relationship to grow? And if one of the two spouses looked at me and said, nah, it's good enough. It's fine where it's at. What would you think about that response? Honestly, what would you think about that response? You would think that person is not really invested in this relationship. That person doesn't really care all that much about the relationship. If they're saying, it's fine, whatever. Do we ever do that with our relationship with Jesus Christ? That we think, oh, it's good enough. It's all right. It's fine. I don't really want to put the work in to make it any better. I'm just going to continue on like I am because it's okay. Do we ever have that attitude? Understanding that if we say, no, I want it to be better, that is going to require what? Work. It's going to require a few things. It's going to require, first of all, time, isn't it? For your relationship to grow, doesn't it require time? You know, in my relationship with my wife, if I never saw her at all and didn't take time to talk with her and just kind of ignored her, would our relationship grow? Would it stay the same? Yeah, it wouldn't even do that, would it? That's the thing. Sometimes we think, oh, it'll just continue. No, it's either growing or it's declining. It takes time. It also takes what else? Effort, doesn't it? I need to be willing to open myself up to my wife and share with her, and she needs to be willing to do the same for me for that relationship to really grow. If we hold back, if we don't really share what's in our heart, that relationship is never really going to get very deep, is it? It's going to be just a shallow kind of relationship. And the reality is there are marriages out there like that, aren't there? They're just shallow because they're never really willing to open themselves up to the other person. But for a relationship to grow, that step has to happen, opening up your heart to them. Here's the thing, for our relationship with Jesus Christ, if we want it to grow, that same thing has to happen. You have to be willing to open up your heart to Jesus, to share with Him what's really there. And there's a lot of different things that can be there, aren't there? Maybe sometimes there's anger in your heart. Should you share that with Jesus? Yes. Maybe sometimes there's bitterness. Should you share that with Jesus? Everybody say yes. 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 Whatever is in your heart, be willing to share with Him, because guess what? He knows it's there anyway. He already knows that. He knows you better than you know yourself. But it's when we're open and honest with Him that He can begin to work in our lives and that our relationship can grow. So the first thing, again, that Paul says, that I may know Him, that means that personal relationship and that it's growing. Question number one is yours. Are you putting the time and the effort into your relationship with Jesus Christ? But he doesn't stop there. The next thing he also says that we need to know, the next thing after the comma, and the power of His resurrection. How important is that? Scale of one. All right, is everybody awake? Scale of 1 to 10. How important is the power of Jesus' resurrection that we know that? Somebody said 112. Yeah, those are the right answers. Folks, it is all about the power of Jesus' resurrection, isn't it? That is what enables us to have what? Forgiveness and everlasting life. Without those things, we wouldn't have it. Without that sacrifice. And it says the power. Look again. I guess it's up here behind me. That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. Not just knowing His resurrection, but the power of that. That is a power that gives us new life, isn't it? Isn't it? The power that we can find forgiveness in. How many mistakes have you made in your life? Turn to the person beside you. Tell them how many mistakes you've made in your life. What were some of the numbers you just shared?
I don't know.
Too many? I don't know. Can't count that high?
1,000,001.
1,000,001. Did you count them all, Colton? All right. Colton's got it down to 1,000,001. He's young, so that's probably about right. Those of us that are older, it'd be a lot higher than that, wouldn't it? And Jesus makes it abundantly clear. It's not just our actions, it's also our thoughts, isn't it? If we started a tally of all the thoughts we have that aren't right with God, it'd be a pretty tall number, wouldn't it? So if you want to understand the power of His resurrection, that power is enough to forgive every one of those sins and mistakes that you've made in your life. Every one of them. How much power is that? To forgive those 1,000,001 mistakes that Colton has made, and sins, and for those of us that are older, to forgive the millions of sins and mistakes that we've made. That is the power of his resurrection. And the power to take all those sins and wash them away. We talked about dirty rags earlier, right? Would it matter how many times I ran them through the washing machine? Do you think they're ever going to look like new? Would it matter what laundry detergent I used? I could use Tide, you know, the best stuff, or whatever it is. OxyClean, I don't know what you use. I just dump in there whatever we've got on the shelf. Would it matter what you used? Here's the thing. When those rags have grease and dirt and filth on them, they're never going to look the same again, no matter what you do. But it's different what we're talking about here. Our mistakes, our sins, all that crud in our life, when we have the forgiveness that comes through Jesus Christ's death on the cross, it says they're washed white as snow. It says our sins are blotted out, they're gone. It says they're separated from us as far as the east is from the west. That is the power of his resurrection. And it says we need to know that. To appreciate how much Jesus Christ did for us. So to know him, to know the power of his resurrection, and to know the fellowship of his suffering is the next thing it says. So we're getting into some things that aren't so fun. Any of you like suffering? Any of you say, oh, I want to sign up for some of that. I need more of that in my life. I need more suffering. When it says to be a fellowship of his suffering, fellowship means to be a part of. If we're a fellowship of believers, that means we're all part of the same thing, right? That's what a fellowship is. And it says to have fellowship in his suffering. That means to be a part of it. And we can look at that and think, well, I don't want any suffering. But folks, God does not always say being a Christian is easy. It's not what he says. It doesn't say anywhere, become a Christian and everything in your life will be easy from then on. That's not the way it works, is it? You know, in Bible study, we're in Acts on Wednesday night. Not Thursday. Yeah, Wednesday night. We're on Acts. I get them mixed around sometimes. And we're to the part in Paul's life. He was Saul before, right? And he persecuted the church and God got a hold of him. And the thing that God says was, I'm going to show Paul the things that he must suffer for my name's sake. Interesting thing to say, isn't it? God doesn't say, I'm going to show him all the big blessings I'm going to give him. God didn't say, I'm going to show him all the wealth that I'm going to give him. God says, I'm going to show him the things that he'll suffer for my sake. And Paul did. He was shipwrecked, he was beaten, he was stoned, all kinds of things that aren't so fun. Folks, when we follow God, it means at times we will be out of our comfort zone and there will be difficulties in our life. But we do it because we know him. That we have that personal relationship and we realize what he did for us. That he died and rose from the grave for us. And then we are willing to do whatever it takes for him. However difficult it is, we're willing to go through it because we understand what he did first for us. So to be in the fellowship of his suffering. And then the last thing in verse 10, being made conformable unto his death. What does it mean to be conformed? What's it mean to be conformed? Changed? Shaped? Molded? All those things are what it means to be conformed, that God is shaping us through the death of Jesus Christ. And again, this goes right along with the whole theme of Philippians, that God is working on us. You know, I can pick on John Leatherman back there. Sorry, John, I'm going to pick on you for a minute. Is that all right? Do I have your permission? Do I have your permission? All right. John has done some beautiful pottery work. If you've ever seen John's pottery, it's beautiful. The things that he creates. What do you start with, John?
Clay.
A lump of clay. And you form it. And he shapes it. And I don't understand all the process. I know there's a lot to it, and there's a talent to it that he has. but he forms it and shapes it until it's just what he wants it to be. And you know, John's got several on a shelf at his home, and they're not all the same. Isn't that interesting? They're different. Each one's different. Each one has a different shape, a different pattern on it, different coloring, all kinds of uniqueness. Doesn't that describe us? Well, none of us are the same, are we? Would you all want to be just like me? Believe me, you don't. God works on all of us. He creates us. He shapes us into just what he wants us to be. It says here to be conformable, to be shaped by his death. That our relationship with Jesus, as we get to know him, it should shape us. It should have an impact on how we think, on how we act, on how we treat others, on how we view life, on how we view death, on how we view everything between birth and death, should be shaped by Jesus Christ. Isn't that true? From the beginning to the end and everything in between. You know, it is an amazing thing to see little Lennox up here, Chloe and Daniel's new little one. She's beautiful. This is her first Sunday in church. Our relationship with Jesus Christ should have an impact on how we view babies, shouldn't it? Because they should show us and we should think, what an amazing, beautiful creation of God. But our thinking should be shaped all the way into the end, to the end of life. That as someone gets to the end of their lives, to also understand, well, that's beautiful too, because God's got a plan in that just as much. And he's got a plan beyond our lives here on this earth. It should shape the beginning, it should shape the end, and it should shape everything that we think of in between. That is what it means to be a believer. That is what it means to have God working in our life. And again, here Paul reminds us, are we there yet?
No.
Everybody say no.
No.
Look in verse, look in verse 12. Paul says, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect. What is Paul saying? I'm not there yet. I'm getting there. I know Jesus. I know the power of his resurrection. I know his suffering, and God is working on me, but I'm not there yet. I've got a ways to go. I need to grow in Christ. Isn't that the same thing for all of us? We're not there yet. But look down in verse 13. I count not myself to have apprehended, so I'm not there yet, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are before, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Even though I'm not there yet, there's something that is important for me to do. And what does he say? Forget what? What happened in the past. Because as God works on us, if we are caught up in what's happened in the past, what does it do to our present and our future? It stunts our growth, doesn't it? For Paul, this was especially true. He had persecuted Christians. What if he was caught up in the guilt of that? What if he lived the rest of his life and his ministry just being guilty over what he had done? What if that consumed his thoughts? How much would he have accomplished for God? Forgetting the things which are behind. That means for you and I, what matters the most? It's not what you did yesterday. It's what you do right now and what you do tomorrow. Because the reality, you can't change what you did yesterday. Maybe you didn't serve God the way that you should have. Maybe you were mean and nasty to somebody. Maybe you said things you shouldn't have said. Maybe you thought things you shouldn't have thought yesterday. That can be taken care of right now. Because right now is what matters. You can't change what you did, but you can say, God, forgive me for what I did. You can say that right now, and if you do, what happens?
You're forgiven.
And then what matters? What you do next. Plain and simple. Paul knew the importance and the reality of that. That it's not what we did yesterday. If we sinned, then ask God for forgiveness. That's what you can do now, and then you work for tomorrow. That's the key, folks. You know, as we come together as believers today, the first question is, and the most important question, do you have Jesus Christ in your heart? If you don't, doesn't matter what you did yesterday, it matters what you do right now, whether you accept Jesus Christ in your heart and ask Him to forgive your sins. For you that have been a believer, what did you do yesterday? Did you let God down? If you did, that's too bad. But you can do something about it right now, saying, Lord, forgive me and help me to do better tomorrow. Again, it's not about yesterday, folks. It's about today and tomorrow. That's what God wants us to focus on. And that's what God is always ready to forgive us, isn't He? Isn't He? Again, God is faithful to complete the work in us. That means as He does that work, are there ever going to be setbacks? When you're working on a project, when you're working on a house, when you're building something, knitting something, crocheting something, whatever kind of project it is that you work on, are there ever setbacks? I know talking to some ladies in the knitting group, and they make wonderful things for all kinds of purposes. It's a blessing. It's a wonderful ministry. Ladies that are in that, do you ever make a mistake? Do you ever keep going and then you look back and, oh, there was a mistake there? What do you have to do? Tear it out. You unravel it, you get back, you correct the mistake, and then you're done. You quit, right? Nope. You correct the mistake, and then what? You keep going. You move forward. Folks, that is spiritually what God wants in us. Will we make mistakes? Will we sin? Yeah. Correct it through Jesus Christ, and then keep going. It is as simple as that. Folks, this morning, I don't know where you're at in that whole process of God working in your life. Maybe you haven't even started it yet. If that's the case, you need to accept Jesus today. Maybe you started it a long time ago, but you've been kind of at a standstill for a while. And folks, that's a sad thing, isn't it? I know, again, I keep coming back to this house being built. I know sometimes you go past a place where they started building something, they get so far, and I don't know whether they run out of money or what happens, but it never gets any further. You ever driven by a place like that? Isn't that sad? Isn't it?
Yeah.
But that can happen to us. We get started down that road following Jesus, circumstances happen, and then we just kind of stall. Maybe that's you this morning. If it is, you don't have to stay at that point. Say, Lord, I want to move forward. I want to grow closer to You. I want my relationship with You to be closer. But it starts with you saying that. The Bible says, draw near to God and He'll draw near to us. Well, drawing near takes who first? Us. We take that first step, and when we do, He'll draw near to us. So if your life's maybe been at a standstill in your relationship with Jesus, you haven't been growing the way you should, take that step this morning. We're going to sing, and I don't know what we're singing. They're still working on it. But as we sing, those are the questions I want you. And I told you, I changed everything around this morning, so I appreciate music people and all that always being willing to go along with whatever happens. But this morning, I truly want you to think about where you're at as God works on you. Are you moving forward? Let's bow our heads for prayer. Lord God, again, we thank You for this morning and for Your word. And I pray, Lord, that we would be willing and wanting and desiring to move forward in our relationship with You. So speak to our hearts, Lord. If there are any here that have never accepted Jesus Christ, I pray that this morning would be the morning they put their trust and faith in Jesus, that they would become to know Him, the power of His resurrection in their lives. For the rest of us, Lord, just help us to grow and to continue to grow, not to be satisfied with standing still. Speak to our hearts, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Lord God, I pray that You just bless us as we leave this place and help us to stand in the power of Jesus Christ, to share His message, His love with the world around us. And we ask and pray this in His name. Amen. God bless you and have a wonderful week.